Juvenile Justice 101 is a clever name for what amounts to a 15-minute orientation. It's held in the middle of King County's juvenile court lobby. Kids end up in juvenile court for everything from shoplifting to robbery to unlawful possession of weapons. The presenter raises her voice to be heard above the hubbub.
Once you get into the court, things do happen quickly.
The class, if you can call it that, is held here for a reason, so that people literally bump into it. Project director Karen Traylor says the hope is distraught parents who have to sit and wait anyway will absorb some of the information.
So you see families that come in and you can see it on their faces that they're lost, they're afraid, they're brokenhearted.
She can relate to them. Her own foster daughter once ended up in juvenile court.
A whole room full of people and I felt all by myself.
On this day, Traylor's presentation includes a short video with testimonials from other parents. There's also practical advice, like bring a book. You might spend hours waiting. It's the sort of help Melitha Williams says she could have used when her son was arrested.
I got a call out of the blue, and I panicked. I felt like I was just overwhelmed.
She says for parents who are overwhelmed, having someone give you even very basic information is incredibly useful. Williams now works with Juvenile Justice 101.
Yes, and sometimes just reassure them that they're going to be all right makes a world of difference.
As for her first piece of advice,
The parent has to get past themselves and the overwhelming thoughts of, oh my God, what did he do? What did I not do? What could I have done different?
If you're wondering why the focus here is on parents, it's because there's a general sense they are the forgotten parties in the juvenile justice system. It's the reason the MacArthur Foundation has pumped money into this through the state Models for Change program. Juvenile court, as the name implies, was set up for juveniles. It's not that it's anti-parent, it's just that it isn't anybody's job to advocate for them. And it's easy to feel shut out. In a small room just off the lobby, a 16-year-old Bellevue teen is conferring with his defense attorney. They're preparing for the boy's third and final court hearing. His parents sit outside. Because of confidentiality requirements, they're not privy to the discussion.
We're not allowed to be involved in the planning that goes on for when we go to court or anything.
I mean, it's hard because you're used to being very involved with your child, and suddenly they're over there and you're in this other...
That's correct. That's been very, very unusual experience for us. Yeah.
When asked why her son's here, she'll only say he did something stupid. The Juvenile Justice 101 presentation has just ended. I ask a woman who looks as if she's been up all night crying if it was helpful. Yes, a little bit, she says.
Just telling you about the process. I didn't know how long the process was going to go on. A lot of steps involved. So,
can I ask you what brings you here?
My daughter. That's really all I want to talk about right now.
Karen Traylor, the project director, comes over, hands the woman a tissue, comforts her, tells her everything's going to be all right. It's moments like this, the one-on-one, the parent-to-parent support, the informal connection, that advocates say is the real power of the Juvenile Justice Project. Paula Whistle, KPLU News.